a few minutes this morning on living a life of expectancy. God will always answer a prayer that is prayed with faith, believing, and expectation. It may not be the answer you want, but it will be a response. Amen? It will be a response. I am expecting a move of God today. I woke up this morning expecting a move of God today. When I got to the parking lot and pulled in, I was expecting an outpouring of the Holy Ghost today. I didn't come to have church. I'm bored with church. Church is mundane and ritual and can just be a routine. I want a move of God. I want more than just a program. I want the presence. How we approach it matters. Do we approach it with expectation, or do we approach it as, well, check it off my list for the week? This is not a checklist item. This is an opportunity to have a divine encounter with a holy God. And we should approach it with the anticipation of walking into the throne room. If I'm going to meet King Charles, I'm going to prepare a little bit. I'm going to have a sense of anticipation. I don't care who the sitting president of the United States is or will be, but to meet a sitting president would be awesome. Doesn't matter what party, doesn't matter anything. But you prepare yourself to walk into their presence. There's an anticipation. My God, why do we act so nonchalant when it comes to walking into the presence of God? Why do we just do it out of habit? This is not like going to school. This is not like going to work. We're coming into the presence of Jehovah. Forever Yahweh. This is not just another thing we do. If it is, you're probably backslid. Hello? If it is, you better check up. Husbands, if you fall out of love with your wife, there's a problem and you'll soon fall out of that marriage. You'll fall for somebody else. Wives, you fall out of love with your husband, the next step is an affair. That's where it starts. Many in the church have lost their love for God. We have refused to return to our first love. We got to get back to the basics. Hallelujah. Back to the basics. Are you still in love with Jesus? Amen. This past Sunday night, was it this past Sunday night or the week before? We had prayer and praise service. Y'all, we had church. Wow. I've heard people say, well, God showed up and showed out. God's always here. He's always showing out. You ever seen a volcano erupt? That's God showing out. Tornado, that's God showing out. The earth and the fullness thereof is God showing out. So God's always showing out. The question is, are we coming looking for it? Are we coming expecting it? Or have we already predefined, if it's not this, it's not a success? But sometimes God wants to do something and we're not looking for it and we miss it. The Pharisees missed the moment of the Messiah because they were looking for something different. How many times do we as Pentecostals think a service has to be this, this, or that? But it's this, this, and that, and we leave saying, boy, that was a disappointment. Get your mind off the procedure. Get your mind off what you've seen before. God's wanting to do something brand new. And if you come in bound to what God has done previously, you'll miss what God is doing today. Amen. Living with expectation, anticipating, having a hunger and a desire for what is coming. There's no greater analogy for this than a child on Christmas Eve. There's an anticipation. There's a growing sense of excitement for the kids, not for Daddy. Daddy got a long night. But the kids have an anticipation about what is coming. Birthdays, they have an anticipation. That last day of school, they got anticipation about the summer break. We need to get back to having an anticipation about waking up and coming into the house of the Lord. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. David ain't even got out of the house yet, and he's already saying, when I get there, it ain't gonna take no praise team to crank me up. Because I done made up my mind, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into His courts with a praise on my lips. Let me tell you, if you got a praise in your heart, it won't take a band to get a praise out of your lips. Come on, somebody. We spend so much time wanting to church to make up the deficit of our lack of praise and worship and word during the week. That is not the purpose of the local church. You should be prayed up, read up, and fed up before you get here so that we can just go up when we walk in the door. That's what it should be. It's called the first fruits. That's why we get together on Sunday, first day of the week. First fruits of a new week, not the leftovers from last week. How many of you were tired last week? Had a rough week? But this is not bringing God my leftovers from a bad week. This is bringing God the first fruits from what I'm expecting for this week. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to say this concerning the prayer and praise service. We're going to do it again in 2 weeks. The 22nd. We'll have a musician. We'll have maybe some songs, maybe preaching, maybe foot washing, may have communion. I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to come do it. Let me tell you, you don't know what service is going to absolutely rock your world, but I promise you it won't be the one you miss. Amen? I guarantee it. It won't be the one you ain't here for. So plan to be here. September the 22nd. Y'all, we're in September already. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 41. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been dealing with Elisha and these empty vessels. We're going to his mentor now, talking about Elijah. Chapter 18, verse 41 says, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, then Elijah said to Ahab, get up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of an abundance of rain. You got to be able to hear things in the spirit that your eyes don't see in the real. You got to be able to hear things in the spirit that your eyes can't see in the physical. That's called faith. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. This is after he was saying, I've heard rain coming. Sometimes there's a great bit of discouragement when you hear something coming, but you don't see it coming, and you've been talking about it coming, but it ain't there yet, and so you're depressed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been praying for it. You've been prophesying it. You've been speaking and declaring life over it, and it ain't happened yet. And now everybody's wondering, okay, well, where is it at? And so Elijah did what many of us do. He went, found him a place, just sunk his head down between his knees and said, Lord, send the rain, please. Listen, then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. That's discouragement. You're waiting for it. You're expecting it. You done wrote the check. There is nothing. So he said, and seven times the prophet said, go back. Go back. There's nothing. I've gone five times. There's nothing. Give it up. That would have been our mentality. All right. This ain't working. Let's try something else. The prophet said, go back again. Let me tell you, some of you need to go back and look again. Some of you need to go back and look a seventh time. The Bible says Naaman was a man who had leprosy. And the prophet of God said, tell him go dip in the Jordan, a muddy river, seven times. Well, there's got to be a cleaner river than that. There's got to be a more dignified way of getting my breakthrough. No, you go to the muddy river and dip seven times. Can you imagine how humiliating it was for six times? Dip, mud, and leprosy. Now he's not just a leper, he's a muddy leper. Insult to injury. Second time, down, up, wasting my time. Muddy, and I'm still a leper. Third time, down and up. I'm muddy, I'm still a leper. But you ain't, you're not done. You're not done. He said, go do it seven. And I'm telling you, I bet the discouragement was so heavy on his head that sixth time. He goes down, comes back up, said, you have got to be kidding me. I'm muddier, and I'm probably more of a leper. But one more time. My God, somebody needs to receive that and prophesy it over your life. Just one more time. Glory. Hallelujah. I see nothing coming out of that lost son or daughter, but the Lord says one more time. Hallelujah. I haven't been able to pay that bill, but the Lord says just one more. That somebody needs to get a hold of that this morning. The Lord won't let me let it go. One more time. You go back to that chapter one more time. You go back to that prayer closet one more time. You go back into that fast one more time. And God's gonna come through for you. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time. The thing you need to understand about the seventh time is that in God's order of things, seven is perfection, complete, whole. You may count 44 times, but in God's economy, it's just seven. Thing is, you don't know, you just keep dipping. You don't know. You just keep obeying the word of God. You just keep praying. You keep fasting. You keep attending. You keep serving. You keep tithing. You keep reading. You keep praying. You keep doing what you're doing. It's coming. He said the seventh, it came to pass the seventh time. He said there's a cloud, but don't get too excited. It's the size of a man's hand. Now let's say it's the size of Shaquille O'Neal's hand. That's a big hand. That still ain't big enough to produce the kind of rain that Israel needed. But something triggered on the inside of Elijah. Remember, you got to hear it before you see it. And once you've heard it, even the smallest sign's going to make you run laps around the building because you know what God's about to do. Now listen. I see a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain, there ain't a drop fell yet, before the rain stops you. In other words, it ain't just going to rain, it's going to rain so much you can't move in it. I'm talking about you going from a drought so bad that crops are dying and animals are probably dying. But he said, the rain's not just going to come in a sprinkle. No, when it comes, it's going to be a deluge. The dam breaks. Just boom. Peavining. Anybody know what peavining rain is? Raining cats and dogs? Maybe that's a South Carolina thing. But it's going to be a big rain, and you're not going to be able to move in it. Notice those last few words. Go before the rain stops you. The prophet did not speak to what was, because what was a drought, a three-year drought. Everything was in foul shape. The fields were producing little to no crops. Every step that everybody took was a step that was consumed in a dry cloud of dust. Hope for change was almost lost, but the prophet of God spoke, and he spoke concerning what would be, not what could be, but what would be. He was speaking from a place not of maybe so, but from a place of knowing so. The drought was not meant to last forever. It was temporary. In the temporary struggles, that the God you serve is a permanent God. The promise over your life is a permanent promise. The Father's storehouse of blessings is permanently stocked full. It is eternally accessible through faith. These are words of expectancy. He said, go before the rain stops you. In the face of a dry and barren land, in the face of a king who blamed him and called him the prophet of God, the troubler of Israel. In the face of that, and in the face of a queen who hated him and made violent threats against him, in the face of having to run for his life, the prophet of God stood on business, heaven's business, and declared the word of the Lord. Let this be a theme that my ministry conveys to you from now until God removes me from this pulpit. Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Listen. Now is not the time to shrink from the challenge of declaring the word of God openly and with clarity. Declare the word of God when they like it. Declare the word of God when they don't like it. Declare the word of God when it's announcing good times and blessings, but declare the word of God also when it's announcing judgment and repentance. Preach the word. Live the word. When you and I are faithful to utilize the word will be faithful to produce fruit and expectancy in your life. In Webster's dictionary, it says that expectancy is a state of thinking that something will happen. I expect it because it's going to happen. Not might, not could, but will. It almost sounds like the biblical definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Did you hear that first word? Now, faith. In the midst of the struggle, now, faith. Not tomorrow, faith. Not maybe next week, faith. Not when things get better, faith. But now, faith. Three Hebrew children had now, faith. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. You can do whatever you want to. Our God can deliver, but even if He don't deliver us, you throw us in that furnace, we still ain't going to bow to. That's a now faith. You may cancel me. You may fire me from my job. You may do whatever you want to me, but I'll stand on business because the Word of God is faithful and the Word of God is true and God is worthy of our devotion. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not. It's the materialization of that which we are asking for. Amen. The word expectancy also carries the word expectant, which means anticipating or expecting the birth of a child. When a woman becomes pregnant, she says, I am expecting. This means that a definite encounter has taken place, and now she bears within her person the growing fruit of that encounter. Perhaps the reason we have so few expectant believers in the house is because too few of us have sought out promise-producing encounters with God. A person with no recent encounter is a person with no right to expect anything. A person with no recent encounter is a person who has no right to expect anything. When was your last encounter with God? When was the last time you left your prayer closet and you knew you were then expecting something? Christians are intended to live lives of expectancy. Elijah was convinced. He had made up his mind that rain was coming, so therefore he was expecting it. And just like a mother pregnant with child, the closer it gets to time for delivery, that mother might feel pain. She might begin to sense the nearness of her delivery. And she may begin to say, I think this is it. It could happen today. I believe this could happen. She starts to see the effects of that pregnancy. And it is growing and it is maturing. And she starts to feel that baby kick and that baby move. And she starts to drive her husband crazy, don't she, Tyler? They're expecting next month? November. Wow, little tiger's coming. I can't wait to meet him. But she begins to feel that urgency. I've got to maybe go ahead and go to the hot. Maybe I've got to cancel that trip because that could be when it happens. Likewise, we who believe should walk into this house every time we join together with the expectation today could be the day. Today, that service, that's probably the one that's going to happen. That service, that's probably when it's going to happen. What is going to happen? Today could be the day. My lost son or daughter walks into the house and kneels at the cross and gets forgiveness for their sins and are born again. Maybe today is the day that you receive your total and complete healing. Well, Pastor, what if it don't happen today? What if it don't? Then it'll happen tomorrow. If it don't, it'll happen Tuesday. That's what I'm talking about. Expecting it. Today could be the day I receive my breakthrough. When we wake up on Sunday morning, I gotta go to church. Stay home. Just stay home. It'll do us some good, probably. Probably do you good to get some more rest. Preacher said stay home. But we come in expecting. It changes the atmosphere in the house. You are not a thermometer. You're a thermostat. Right? You're not a thermometer just to tell what the temperature is. You're a thermostat. I will set the temperature in the house. There's a difference. There's a difference. And you decide when you wake up and you pull onto the property, I'm either going to walk in and grumble about the temperature, or I'm going to walk in with a praise on my lips, a song in my heart, and I'm going to set the atmosphere in the house. So here's the question. Do we really expect our miracle? Do we really, really expect it? Or do we just ask because, you know, that's what we pray. And so we just ask and we make our petitions on without any expectation that we will receive what we're praying for. Do you expect it? If you don't expect it, don't even bother praying about it. When you pray, believe. That's what Jesus said. If you pray, believe. Or have we been so conditioned to accept the drought that we no longer expect the rain? So I want us to deal with some things concerning expectations this morning. The first thing I want to deal with is the unreal expectations of the unrighteous. Expecting a watermelon to come from a corn seed is unrealistic. Expecting to jump out of an airplane without a parachute and not get hurt is an unrealistic expectation. Expecting for God to use you to do great things when you have not been faithful in the little things is an unrealistic expectation. We want God to increase our opportunities, but we're not faithful in the small things. Amen? That's an unrealistic expectation. Expecting your church to be blessed financially when many of you tip instead of faithfully tithe is an unrealistic expectation. Why can't we pay to do this? Why can't we pay to do this? Why can't more than 50% pay tithes faithfully? Don't complain about what the church doesn't have or doesn't do if you're not contributing. A little real talk for you. These buildings don't repair themselves. But God has set in motion spiritual laws that govern the world, and rarely does He break them. He can break them because He's God. He can do whatever He wants to, move any way He wants to. But just because God can do something does not mean He will. Sometimes you have to reap what you sow. Sometimes you have to put seed in soil to reap a harvest. So many times we want to sit on the back porch and expect the harvest without getting out there and sowing any seed. Amen? That's an unrealistic expectation. Living in open disobedience to the Word of God and still expecting to be saved in the end is an unrealistic expectation. Jesus said, strive to enter the narrow gate. For many will seek to enter, but will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will say, I don't know you. But Lord, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I don't know you. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out devils in your name, do many mighty works in your name? And then he said, I don't know you. But it's not just the denial of entry. He says, depart from me. Your time at the door will be short-lived. Because he does not just deny you entry, he says, depart from me. And that word depart should send shivers down the spine of every human being, because you never get to come back. Ever. Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness, you workers of iniquity. Where do you depart to? He said, a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This routine of church alone cannot save you. The rituals alone cannot save you. Being baptized in water alone cannot save you. You must be born again. Ritual and religion without relationship cannot save you. You must be born again. Expecting to live like hell and spend eternity in heaven is an unrealistic expectation. Expecting to be made comfortable and cozy in the house of God while still living in open sin is an unrealistic expectation. You must be born again. When grace is used as an excuse to sin, it is a misinformed, misunderstood, counterfeit grace. It is a distortion of God's grace. Expecting to have the right to attend church and not hear sin preached as exceedingly sinful, hell preached as exceedingly terrible, and the way of salvation preached as exceedingly narrow is an unrealistic expectation. You have no right to come in and feel comfortable in your sin. No right to expect that. But we want that. We want to be cozy in our compromise. We want to live like hell, but still want the blessings of a child of God. You cannot have it both ways. In Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 24, the Lord is speaking and he says, I've grown sick of my prophets. because they have actually strengthened the hand of the sinners. What does that mean? That means they're preaching, you do whatever you want to, grace, 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 and you don't have to worry about it. There's a lot of people going to hell buying into that lie. You better understand there is a way called straight. I said there's a way called straight. There's a road called holiness, and you better be on it. There is no time to play, young people. It is not one of many options. There's one truth. I was called an arrogant something other this week because of my stance on that. You call me whatever you want to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no other option for eternal life in heaven. It is an exclusive, narrow path. There's no other way. Amen? So we preach hell exceedingly horrible, because it is. We preach sin exceedingly sinful, because it is. We preach the way of truth as exceedingly narrow. There is only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is not one of a variety of options. He is the only option. Basically, choose Jesus or choose hell. Amen? Again, let me point out that God has set in motion spiritual laws that govern the world, and rarely does He break them. Could God save everybody? Yes, but God won't. Because the Bible says that there will come a day of separation. The wheat and the tares come up together in the same church. They all attend the grace place, but there's coming a day the preacher really can't tell them apart. The Sunday school teacher can't tell them apart. But one day the God who knows it, the God who sees it all, is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. But to those on His right hand, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not everybody in church goes to heaven. Amen? Hell is full of people that went to church. Satan was the worship leader of heaven. And if he can talk angels out of heaven, he can talk you into hell. Amen? So you better understand, being in church is not enough. How's your relationship with the Lord? Scripture gives us certain patterns to guard against unrealistic expectations. Spiritual laws that provide insight, that set the laws of how we live. You reap what you sow. Bad fruit does not come from a good tree. That's a principle. That's a law in Scripture. If your tree is a good tree, it'll bear good fruit. So saying you're saved but not bearing the fruit makes you a hypocrite. Right? So while the righteous can expect blessings and favor, the unrepentant and unrighteous can only expect judgment. I'm setting your expectations this morning. Setting your expectations this morning. The writer of Hebrews says it this way: let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. You hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ for dear life. Amen. You cling to the cross. You don't stray from the cross. You hang on to the cross. It is the only way you'll make it to heaven. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Satan can't unhook my hands from the cross. Satan can't unsave my soul. Glory to God. Satan can't rob you of your salvation. If he could, he would, but he can't. You have been sealed. Glory. Hallelujah. Satan can't come in and take anything from you. Stop giving him too much credit. So he said, hold unswervingly, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? Behold, he comes day. That day. This he speaks to the righteous who have the right to expect blessings from God. But to the unrighteous, the word declares that what they can expect. The righteous can expect blessings. The righteous can expect to walk in favor. That's a blessing for the righteous. But to the unrighteous, verse 26 says, if we deliberately keep sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice is left for sins, but only, here's your expectation, a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. I'd rather be offended by the truth than soothed with a lie and miss heaven. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Give me the truth, uncompromised, straight up, and with a twist. Give me the truth. He said, only a fearful expectation of judgment. People get mad. They can't stand it. We've been hearing it. People don't want to hear this stuff. But before I'll stand before God, having strengthened your hand in engaging in your sin, I'll offend you with the truth. Because I'm not afraid of anybody, but I'm terrified of standing before God in disobedience. Right? In disobedience. A lot of pulpits going to be in bad shape. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing. So if you're here this morning and you're not where you need to be with God, the only thing you have a right to expect is death, hell, and the grave.